tonight, I want to know the honest truth, because God's watching. How many came tonight expecting God to move? Raise your hand. Honest, God's watching. But you came in tonight, and you came in expecting God to speak to you. Some way, somehow, maybe it's in your body. Maybe it's in your finances. Maybe you've been praying and you've been believing God and you haven't seen the answer yet. But tonight you said, you know what? I'm going to church. I'm going to be excited about what God is doing. I'm expecting God to save someone. This is how we need to come to church. I'm expecting God to save someone. I'm expecting God to heal someone. I'm expecting God to speak to me. I'm expecting God to meet me tonight. How many came to church that way? I tell you, that's where we need to be tonight. There has to be some sort of expectation. Something has to stir us, amen, for the things of God. There has to be an expectation where when we walk into these doors, when we begin to, knowing that it's a Wednesday or it's a Sunday service, there has to be an expectation of us believing and trusting that God is going to meet us right where we're at. Right where we're at. God wants to meet someone tonight. God wants to meet a need tonight. God wants to have his way tonight. God wants to minister tonight. And I believe that God is going to do it. I couldn't wait to get to church. I even took 2 hours off. I said, you know what? Tonight's church, man, I got to get ready. I want God to be here. If you have your Bibles, turn over to Mark chapter 11. I was reading this story this week in Mark chapter 11. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. Mark chapter 11. I used to tell our church, it's in the Old Testament. And man, you'd see those new converts, you know, they'd be going to the Old Testament, looking. You know, no, it's in the New Testament, you know. But I was teaching them, helping them to learn. How many know you have to learn? Nobody's got it together. But I was reading this, and I came across this simple story, and I thought to myself that this is a key. This is a key. And what you need to understand is that God gives us keys to the kingdom. He gives you keys to loosen. He gives you keys to bind. And keys, they open up the doors of God. And throughout the whole Bible, you're going to read stories of different things and different people. And every time that you read a story, God is actually giving you a key to his promise. You have the power to bind tonight. Do you understand that? You have the power to bind. That means you can bind some things here on earth. You can bind the lies of the devil. You can bind the strategy of hell. You can bind sickness. You can bind disease. You can pray over those kids. I tell you what, the school system right now is sickening, amen? I tell you what, things are changing. We're living in the last days, and I want you to understand that it's important that you and I find the keys to the kingdom of God. Keys that will bind. And then keys that will loosen. Loosen the power of God. Loosen the power of God on your finances. Loosen the power of God over that sickness. Loosen the power of God in your life. Loosen the power of God of giving you joy and peace. Loosens the power of God in your life. I want you to understand that there are keys in the Bible that Jesus, that God speaks about, that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance, and these keys will set you free. It'll deliver you. It'll help you. In Mark chapter 11, verse 11, it says, listen to this. It says, and Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So he had looked around at all things. Mark 11, verse 11. Yes, ma'am. Mark 11, verse 11. And Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. So when he had looked around at all things, as the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now you need to understand something here. The 12 are the disciples. And if you look at this is my favorite book throughout all the Bible is Mark, because there are so many miracles that happen. So many miracles happen in Mark chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. And you see so many miracles happening, and the 12 are with Jesus and they've seen all these miracles. The lady with the issue of blood. The little boy that passed away, and right after that, when Jesus said to him, don't worry, you know, everything's going to be all right. And then he finds out that while he's dealing with the lady with the issue of blood, the little boy dies. And he says to the man, he says, you know what, be not afraid. He says, don't worry, don't be afraid, but only believe. So then they go over there and they pray, and Jesus raises him from the dead. And then it goes from there to miracle after miracle after miracle. And the disciples, the 12, are there. Can you imagine it? You've seen God do this. You've seen God do that. You've seen God do that. So we should have faith that God can do all things. We should have expectation that God is going to do something right now. Because we've seen it before. We've seen God do things. We've seen God get healed. We've seen God do miracles in wheelchairs. We've seen God deliver drug addicts, prostitutes. We've seen God deliver men. We've seen God deliver marriages. We've seen God. So there should be an expectation of what God can still do in our lives and in this place today, right? So listen to what happens. And it says, now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. Jesus actually got hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, and every one of the 12 heard it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Did you hear that? Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples, the 12, heard it. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out all those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. So he went in there and he's got this holy anger. I don't know if it was because he was hungry. Amen. But he had an anger. I don't know about you, but when I'm hungry, sometimes I get angry. Amen? But anyhow, Jesus goes into the temple and he sees all these different things. The night before, they weren't selling because it was a late hour. So when he comes back in the morning, he sees all these people selling things, selling doves, selling sacrifices, selling all these things. So Jesus gets upset and he throws the tables over. And in verse 16, it says, and he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, and here's some keys. Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to read on, but I want to stop right there for a second because I was talking to a gentleman this afternoon and we were talking about church, and I was telling him about a church that I visited in San Antonio. And in San Antonio, it was dark in the church. And then they turn on the lights and somebody grabbed this beach ball. And they began to pass the beach ball in the temple of God. See, if I remember right, Jesus was upset when they were selling doves and they were selling all these sacrifices because it was the temple of God. See, I want you to understand, when you come into this place, this is holy ground. This is a place of respect where the power of God begins to flow. This is a place where God, this altar is able, to lay down your sins and be forgiven and washed in the blood. This is not a place where we can bounce a beach ball around and celebrate, getting together, but this is a place where Jesus is at. Where redemption is brought. This is a place of respect. Let me go on. It says, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they heard him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city. Now here it goes. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Do you understand that? From the roots. Plants that die usually die from the top and go down to the roots. But see, when God gets involved, God touches the roots and kills it on the way up. It's just like your heart. When God gets involved in your life, he goes to the heart. Man looks at the appearance. Man looks at how they can do things. Man tries to change on his own abilities. But when God gets involved, I want you to know God goes straight to the root of the problem. I want you to understand tonight the root of the problem in our lives, amen, is our heart, where we have that deep sin down inside, where we have that unforgiveness down inside, where we have that bitterness and that anger and all those things, all the lies, all the cheating. All the words that we say, amen, that are wrong words to speak, I want you to know they're at the heart. And I want you to understand something tonight. This is where God goes. God always goes down deep, root into the heart. We ask God to change us from the outside, but really God wants to change us on the inside. So it says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembering, I always love Peter, and Peter remembering said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. He's seen all the miracles. He's seen the lady with the issue of blood. He's seen all these different things, but yet he did not understand that when Jesus spoke, when Jesus prayed, the power of God was released. There was, in Jesus, when he prayed, there was an expectation. When he looked at the tree, there was an expectation, and he cursed the tree. And he said he knew that the next time that he seen that tree, it wasn't going to have fruit. But he knew that the next time that he seen that tree, he knew that God was going to kill that tree. He knew that that tree was dead at the moment he spoke it. Why? Because there was an expectation. What Peter had, he did not have any type of expectation. He thought probably the tree would still be there. The tree might even have had fruit. But see, do you understand what I'm saying? There is an expectation that we need to have tonight. There's an expectation that God can do the impossible in your life. Because then Jesus goes back and he says to Peter, right after Peter said it, says, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, not just to Peter, but to all 12, have faith in God. And then he says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. That's a good place to shout amen. I don't know about you, but when I pray, I want to have what God's wanting to give. It says, therefore, in verse 24, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, and that your Father in heaven also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. See, I want you to understand tonight that God gives us a recipe of victory in our life. Throughout the Bible, there are keys that God has given to us. There are keys that God will move in our lives. There are keys that God will use. I want you to understand tonight, amen, that God, amen, is in the business of answering prayer. God is in the business of meeting your need. God is in the business of moving in every situation. I want you to understand that God is able, amen, and that we have to be a people tonight. We have to be a church tonight that has an expectation that God is going to move. Do you have faith in God? Do you have faith in God? I want to share with you a story that I shared with Breakaway one night. There was a man and a girl. Their names were Corey and Charmaine. Corey and Charmaine, they weren't going to our church, but Corey's aunt was saved. She was on fire for God. She loved God. She wanted to see God save her family. She wanted to see God move in her life. And she would pray, and she would believe God to do things in her life. She had an expectation in her life. Now, Corey and Charmaine weren't saved. They lived in Denver, and they were drinkers. They were partiers. They had a little child together, and they one night, they made a pact to commit suicide. So they're in their home, and they made this pact together to commit suicide. And they were partying down like it was the last thing they were ever going to do, because that's what they were going to do. They started dropping pills. They started drinking, and they just started going through it and just having, you know, a good old time. But their goal was to commit suicide. Well, that night they passed out, and the little baby was crawling, and the little baby was able to get out of the little playpen that they had, and the little baby crawled out of the playpen and crawled out to the porch of this home in the morning. Had a stinky diaper, was crawling out on the porch, and a lady was walking by, and she noticed that the little baby was out on the porch. So she goes and grabs the little baby and she knocks on the door, and there's no answer at the door. She looks in and she could see Charmaine passed out on the couch. She's out of it. It's over. So she grabs the baby and she goes to the house next door and she calls 911 and the police come. They check out the scene. They break in through the door and they go into the house and they find Charmaine passed out. I mean, she is dead. She's gone. Little bit alive. Dead. She's gone. Corey is in the bedroom, passed out. He has no pulse. They're dead. They're gone. They begin to work on Corey and Charmaine, and they begin to get a little life into them. There's not much life going on because these two made a pact, amen, to commit suicide. So they did what they had to do, and here they are. They're in the hospital, there's no hope for them. The doctors are saying if they haven't breathed in such a long time, we doubt anything's going to happen. Well, something does happen when you believe God. Something does happen when you have an expectation for God to move. Well, the church family was in one room. There was two separate rooms, and there was one room where the church family gathered, and they called me, and we went over there, and we were praying, and we were believing God. And then Corey's family was in another waiting room, and in that room there was no belief of God. There was no thinking of God. There was no expectation of God. All there was this black cloud, a black death going on in this family. Lady in our church, she said, "Pastor, can you go in? Can you go in and pray?" I just said, "Okay, I don't know. You know, I've never raised anybody from the dead. I've never, you know, I'm trying to believe God myself." But something happened. Something happened. There was the power of God that through this woman, there was an expectation that when we went into that room, God would bring them to life. It's kind of like the fig tree. The fig tree is dead, but yet they didn't understand that when Jesus prayed, amen, that tree died, amen, there was no more life in it. When Peter went by, he could not believe that when Jesus prayed, the thing died. Jesus knew that when he prayed, it was over. That tree was gone. So anyhow, we get into this room, and we begin to pray for Charmaine. Laid hands on her, and I tell you what, the power of God began to move. This is, you can ask Carm, this is a true story. She began to shake in that bed. She began to move. I'm telling you, there was no oxygen to the brain. They were claiming that it was over for her. She began to shake, she began to kick, she began to move, and we began to pray, and we began to believe God, we began to trust God, and God began to work. Now in Corey's family, there was no expectation. There was no believing of God. So they said, "Wow, can you come pray for Corey?" So this auntie of Charmaine and myself went in, and we got around Corey's bed, and we began to pray, and the same thing began to happen. He started to shake, he started to kick, and God began to move. So we're all holding hands, you know, and I don't believe in holding hands when we're dealing with the devil. Amen. I want to make sure that I can get some punches into him, you know? And we're all holding hands, and finally, you know, it clicks. I'm thinking in my mind while I'm praying, get your hands off me. Let God move. So I get up on him, and I start praying. I start believing God. He begins to shake. And then I say, in Jesus' name, amen. Right after I say amen, Corey's mother walks up to him and gets in his ear and says, "Just go home. just go home. Corey, you're going to live. This is the truth. You're going to live through somebody else. We've already donated your eyes. We've already donated your heart. We've already donated your lungs. You're going to live. Just go home. There's no home for an unbeliever. And a cloud came in that room. And I said, I told the lady, I said, stop it. Don't pray that way. We're believing God for a miracle. God's not done. It's not over yet. So we'd go out, and I tell you, I would see darkness in one room, and I would see the light of God in the other. There was an expectation here, and over here there was no expectation. See, I want you to understand something. In your life, you need a miracle. You need something from God. You have to believe God. You have to have an expectation that God is going to meet you over here. If you don't have that expectation, I want you to understand something. God is not going to move. Bible says he did not do many miracles because of their unbelief. So we all regroup. Over here, we're believing God, we're singing songs, we're excited because we had movement. Over here, they're donating Corey. So we go back in the next day. Same thing. Begin to pray. Charmaine begins to move. Charmaine begins to kick. We're believing God. We're trusting God. We're expecting her to kick this thing. We go into Corey. We go pray. We do the same thing. He begins to move. He begins to kick. Right after I pray again, the family comes together and they start saying things again. Negative things. You don't need to live. It's all right. There's something with the end of this story you'll get. So we believe God, we trust God, there's an expectation. The following day, Charmaine wakes up. Charmaine kicks out of it. Charmaine begins to speak. Charmaine's brain, they check it out. There's nothing wrong with her. A miracle happens. Charmaine begins to eat. Charmaine begins to move. Charmaine begins to talk. There's nothing wrong with her speech. So we go back to Corey. We begin to pray again. This time, Corey's not moving. This time, Corey's dead. Well, didn't God hear your prayers? Yes, God heard. But I want you to know there something happens when people expect. Something happens when a person that's in love with Jesus begins to cry out and begins to claim the blood of Jesus, begins to claim that healing power, begins to stand in authority over those things. There's something about a family. There's something about a church. When we come expecting God to move, I want you to know one day they'll bring in hospital beds. Amen. I tell you, one day they're going to bring in wheelchairs. I want you to understand one day they're going to bring in the depressed. Amen. And I want you to understand if we are a church that has an expectation that when we pray, God will move. I want you to know that this place will be a hospital for God to move in. We have to have an expectation of what God can do in our lives. You have to have an expectation that God can answer your prayers. See, many of us pray, but we don't expect anything. You know, it's just the ritual. Oh, God, I'm praying now that you hear me. Lord, I ask that you start my car in the morning. You know, oh, God, I ask, Lord, that you feed my cat. Oh, God, I ask, Lord, that you do all these things. And we have all these different prayers. Amen. But when we need God to move, amen, there has to be a desperation for God to move in your life. It should be, oh, God, unless you move my kids, they're not going to be saved. God, unless you move, I'm not going to pay my rent. God, unless you move, I'm going to be with this sickness all my life. There has to be an expectation when you pray. There has to be the power. See, the Bible says in verse 23, it says, "For assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." That's powerful. That's powerful. That's saying there's expectation. That's saying, you know what, I can say to the mountain today. That's saying that problem that's in your life, that problem, that situation going on in your life, that depression that has taken you down, that's saying, you know, them suicidal thoughts that you're having, that's saying that these things are mountains in your life. But when you bring them to God, I want you to understand the mountain begins to move and the power of God begins to shift. Things begin to change in the heavenlies and God's power begins to bring restoration. There's power in the blood. There's power in prayer. Amen. I want you to understand that these things that we ask, God will move in them. But there has to be an expectation. Verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." I'm not talking about tonight that you go lay your hands on a Mercedes-Benz and pray, you know, God's going to give it to me tomorrow. I'm talking about where you have faith in God. Just like Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. So when you do pray, when you get on your knees and you get alone before God, I'm talking about those situations right now in your life. Talking about those family problems. I'm talking about that husband that can't quit drinking or can't quit partying. I'm talking about those kids that you don't know and you don't have an answer for them. I work for, you know, a warranty, this company, and I see things because I know what's going on, and I see these kids, amen, they call me for a warranty request. I go down to see what it is, there's a broken piece of drywall on a window ledge, and the lady, she just doesn't understand what's going on, amen. She doesn't understand why her screen is ripped, amen, and she's thinking an animal, or did you guys do a bad job? And really what I want to say is your teenage daughter, amen, is going out every night. That's the problem. And they have no answer. But I'm talking to you and myself tonight. There needs to be a desperation. There needs to be a prayer, amen, where we pray and we see the results. God can do it. This Sunday, man, Pastor Paul, I'm hyped. I'm hyped for what's going to happen Sunday. He says, man, we're going to bring some sick people in here. We're going to pray for the sick on Sunday. And I'm hyped, man. I'm thinking, man, we're going to see some miracles. We're going to see God do some things, man. I'm hoping, man, that they bring them in the ambulance and wheel them on down, amen. I'm hoping that we see some people that are crippled walk out of this place. I'm expecting it. We should, as a church, expect this because we're prayer warriors, amen. We have a hotline before God, amen. When you pray, I want you to understand, amen, God answers, amen. He moves. It's having an expectation. Get ready, church. Get ready. Oh, I don't think God can do it. Oh, yes, God can. Shake it off. Some of us so rusty, amen, on things that are spiritual. We're rusty, man. We need some type of WD-40. Oh, God can't do it anymore. God can't use me. You're so rusty. You know, you squeak spiritually. God's saying, shake it off. Shake it off. Do you have faith? Do you believe God? Can God do it again? Can God open the door? Can God split the seas? Can God heal the sick? Can God save that loved one? Can God move in somebody's life tonight? Yes, he can. Do you have faith? Have an expectation, and God will meet you right where you're at. Amen? Let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. I'm expecting somebody tonight to raise their hand to get saved. I'm expecting somebody tonight to shake off those heavy bands and lift up those holy hands. I'm expecting somebody tonight to say, you know what? God can do it again in my life. God can do a miracle. God can work in my finances. God can work in my marriage. God can work in my home. I'm expecting somebody tonight to have the power of God meet them right where they're at. Tonight you're in this place, and I tell you what, I believe the Holy Spirit is here. He's dealing with some rusty old hearts that have said, you know what, I don't know if God can use me. I don't know if God can use me. I'm here to tell you, God is just waiting for you to shake it off. God's waiting for you to ring the bell. God's waiting for you to pray with a sincere heart. God's waiting. Tonight you're in this place and you've never given Jesus your life. You've never asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins. You've never asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior. You come to church, you've gone to church, you've gone to Sunday school, you've gone to catechism, you've gone to religious things, you've gone to all sorts of things, but you've never asked Jesus into your life. Wondering how many are here tonight. You would say, that's me. I'm a sinner. I don't know Jesus. I need forgiveness. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. How many would there be? Be honest. Be honest. All across this room, how many would there be? Be honest. Raise it up high. Amen. Let God see it. How many would there be? God sees that heart. God sees that hand. Amen. God's going to do a miracle. God's going to answer. Tonight's your night. Tonight's your night. I was expecting a miracle tonight. Tonight's your night. How many more would say, you know what, that's me. I'll raise my hand. I need Jesus. I've tried everything. I've tried everything, but never Jesus. You'd say, you know what, I need Jesus tonight. I need forgiveness. Slip it up. Put it right back down. How many more? Be honest. Be honest. Just say, that's me. I'm not trying to push you. We're almost... this service is almost over. How many more? How many here tonight, you're backslidden in your heart? You served God. You did the will of God. But tonight, you're backslidden. You're backslidden. You know who you are. God's been dealing with you. God's been dealing with you. God sees that hand. How many more? Raise it up. God sees that hand. How many more? Raise it up. Be honest. God sees that hand. How many more? Be honest. You need God to meet you tonight. How many here tonight you feel, man, that you don't have the faith you used to have? You feel that, man, so many times I've prayed. So many times I've fasted. So many times I've asked. So many times I've contended. So many times I stepped forward. So many times I stepped out. But now tonight, my faith. Is struggling, and no longer do you expect God to do anything in your life. Just go through the motions. Come to church. Go through the motions. Church doesn't save you. Jesus does. And tonight, you need God to move in that. I tell you what, if you step out and find an altar, God will bring that expectation back in your life. God will stir you once again. God will meet you. The power of God will begin to flow through you. The power of God will use you. God will put you in situations where you begin to expect God to move. We're all going to stand, and I want you that raised your hand to take a bold step of faith and meet me here and find a place to kneel. We're going to pray in just a moment. But everybody that you're going through it, through your faith, we need to be expecting God to move. These altars are open. You need a touch from God. I want you to step out of your seat. Find a place to pray. Don't leave here the same. Don't leave here the same with that old doubt and that old unbelief. Amen.